Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this evening. Amen. William Miller. He was a veteran of the War of 1812, and he converted to Christianity in 1816. And he became intensely interested in studying the Bible, most notably the apocalyptic books of Daniel and Revelation. And he believed, after much studying, that he could calculate when Jerusalem would be restored and therefore when the end of the world would come. He believed that Christ would return sometime between March 21st, 1843 and March 21st, 1844. And thousands of people became convinced of his theories and joined the movement. These people were called Adventists. However, they were all disappointed when the date in March came and went and no Jesus Christ came back. So he said, oh, he must have miscalculated. The correct date was October 22nd, 1844. But as you probably already know, that date also came and went. And this was a great crisis historically. It even has its own name, the Great Disappointment, in the history books. Many left the group, of course, but others decided that maybe Jesus had come, but he came invisibly, and that they still just needed to wait for his visible return. So a lady named Ellen White, she was a woman who was a part of this group, eventually gathered the leftover followers, and they became the leader of what we now know as the Seventh-day Adventists. We have to be very careful as Christians, because sometimes people will speak words that sound very religious, and they might sound very biblical, and they can draw us into believing something that's going to happen even when God has never said so. He never said that he was going to be coming back in March or in October of 1844 or 1843. But false hopes are false hopes, whether they're said by religious people or not. When Jesus talked about the day of the Lord, he said, "Keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour when the Lord will return." Jeremiah wrote, "This is what the Lord Almighty says. Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, 'The Lord says you will have peace.' And to all who follow the stubbornness of their hearts, they say, 'No harm will come to you.'" I wonder how many of us fall victim to religious-sounding ideas. But ideas that have no basis in Scripture, or sometimes are actually the opposite of what Scripture says. How many Christians end up following charismatic church leaders away from sound doctrine and end up in very unbiblical ideas because they wanted to follow Jesus better? How many times have you ever been told, or maybe heard someone telling somebody else, or maybe, even worse, maybe you even told somebody that nothing bad was going to happen to them, even if they were intentionally sinning? God will be okay with it. Have you ever been told, in effect, that actually the same thing that Jeremiah was saying, that no harm will come to you even if you follow the stubbornness of your own heart? Because we want to make people happy, or we want them to feel loved, or we want them to know that God loves them, and so we say, whatever you're doing, even though the Bible says it's wrong, go for it. God will be okay with it. False hopes, though, are still false hopes, even if they sound very religious, even if they're spoken by pastors or church leaders or religiously educated people. In 2018, a church in Manchester, England, invited Muslim men and women to use the aisles of St. Matthew and St. Luke's churches as a place to pray to celebrate Ramadan, which is a holy time for Muslims. In further sensitivity to Islamic beliefs, images of Jesus and the cross were to be covered up. This was all done as a sign to show a peace and tolerance between the two religions, because, you know, nobody wants people to be fighting all the time. But eventually, before this happened, it was canceled. Why, though? Aren't peace and tolerance religious ideals? Love of neighbor, isn't that a religious ideal? Who would be against that? Yet, while we want to live at peace with other people as best as we can, covering up pictures of Jesus, covering up the cross, praying to another God in a Christian church, that's not a faithful witness to Jesus. God, in fact, specifically tells us not to do that kind of stuff. But we easily forget that because we just want to make people feel better. We want to let people know they're loved. And we don't want to fight. And that all sounds very religious. But sometimes we choose to sound or look religious even though we're being unfaithful to God. I mean, there are lots of other examples of this as well. And I mean, I could pick out all kinds of them, but I just want you to come up with a few on your own. There's this great scripture. It's written in Galatians. It says, "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like." Yet how often have we personally seen some of these behaviors, sometimes even in church leaders, and never said anything? I mean, I can think of all kinds of examples. I was a part of a church body in the past that decided to start saying that something the Bible called a sin wasn't a sin any longer. In other words, like Jeremiah said, no harm will come to you even if you follow the stubbornness of your own hearts. And yet, that's sort of a popular one in our society. There are other Christians who would say that people who believe that should be hated and should be treated with disrespect. That's no better. As Galatians said that hatred was a problem too, and dissensions. I mean, how many pastors in their selfish ambition tried to build a bigger church and just wanted more and more people to come in because it made themselves look better or that brought more money in, which is just an example of greed. It's amazing if you read this list, you can come up with all kinds of examples of how religious sounding people, well, they aren't faithful to God at all. We act as if these things don't matter. These things that the Bible says are wrong, that they don't matter, when in actuality they do. In the 19th century, based on my history lesson tonight, you might be able to tell that church leaders often seemed to believe that Jesus was going to come again and they were going to figure out when based on their own private visions, which is a big problem. Yet today, we act as if we can do whatever we want as Christians because Jesus must never be coming again and is never going to catch us doing any of it. William Booth, he was a preacher from the mid-19th century. He has a great quote. He says, "The chief danger that confronts the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, heaven without hell." I think he was pretty spot on. Today, we must repent. We have to repent about how often we follow the visions, ideas, and dreams of others and forgotten to stay faithful to God. We have turned away from God's clear words in Scripture in search of words that sound better, feel better to us, to our modern ears, make us look better when we're talking to other people. Thankfully, though, God's word is like a fire that purifies everything in the end, and his word is like a hammer that breaks rocks to pieces, rocks like us, who are stubborn, hard-headed. We need to recognize that many times it is our most religious ideas and dreams that take us the farthest astray and that we need to return to the simple message that Jesus died on the cross for sinners, of which each one of us are the worst. Tonight, I'm here to remind you about what God does with those rocks, with sinners. He forgives them. He breaks us down to lift us back up. He forgives you when you exchange your dreams for God's dreams, and when you exchange your words for God's word, and when you exchange your selfish desires and hopes for the hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ. And when you exchange and give him your sin, he gives you his salvation. Amen.